slide down. Rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a...
Hello everyone, welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is episode 2 of a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I am your host Tyler, and I am joined again this week by Matt.
Hello!
Jason.
Hi.
And Gordy.
What's going on?
On this show, we are just a bunch of friends who decided to watch Dragon Ball Z in its entirety, filler and all, and then we're going to talk about it for you, the listening audience.
Especially the filler.
Especially the filler.
Extra emphasis on that filler.
Pre-recording, we were mentioning how it is often better, and we will not back down from that standpoint.
Absolutely not. It is an Oreo. You need the main cookie and you need the filling inside. One or the other will not do it.
Every diabetic ounce.
When in life is filler ever a bad thing, other than anime?
It's a very good point. And well made.
We are watching the Funimation uncut dub. Gordy and I are watching on DVD. Jason and Matt, you are still watching on Funimation now.
Yes.
But we are all watching the same dub, which is not Kai. It is the more or less original format. It's a little bit different because it is unedited in this nature. So we're going to see things that weren't in the original Toonami release, like Gohan's weird robot friend. But I don't think that happens till next week. So look forward to that. We're also going to include occasional segments just to break things up. How do you guys feel about talking about fanfic this week?
I am all for
that. Please, yeah.
Does anybody have any experience with Dragon Ball Z fanfiction of any kind?
Writing it?
Yeah, writing it, reading it, experiencing it.
I do, no. Not firsthand.
Not personally, no.
Unfortunately, I do.
Unfortunately?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Jason, how about you?
Fan fiction? No, I was more like the fan art. This was at the stage of my prestigious art career where I was drawing Kirbys all the time. So I was drawing everyone as a Kirby. So I had, you know, your Vegeta Kirby, your Goku Kirby, and your Krillin Kirby, you know, the whole cast.
Basically. The whole crew.
The whole crew. That was pretty much it. Just draw it as a Kirby.
Matt, how about you?
Let's see. Well, the one I made, it was more a concept than an actual fan fiction, but I like made this evil character named Jack.
Nice.
Who was
CK or just K? This
CK.
Is important.
It was a CK.
Not as nice. Not as edgy.
No.
You get points off for that.
Let me tell you about what he actually was. He was this evil jester that wore a business suit and had a giant pimp cane. And his eyes were black.
Loving it. Big fan.
And he had the power to bring back people from the dead and, like, possess them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I also read the Dragon Ball AF manga back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
The alternate future.
Or April Fool's.
Ah.
The April Fool's manga. I like the April Fool's manga.
Yeah, where much the legendary Super Saiyan 5 was introduced. Fun fact on that, though, is apparently the guy who made the Dragon Ball AF fan manga went on to become the artist for the Dragon Ball Super manga.
Right, the successor to Toriyama, the hand-chosen successor, was drawing fan fiction beforehand, which is incredible to me.
That's a story. It's a journey.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Tyler, I wanted to... this came to me in a flash. I remember.
Please.
I had an OC.
Hit me with it.
It was not a Dragon Ball OC per se, but I used it as reference, and I can explain it as such. His name was Voltoid, and he was a Voltorb, you know, from Pokemon, with robot arms and legs and Goku hair and a gun.
And a gun.
That was his power.
It took a turn I was not expecting. His power was a gun.
He is power level gun.
Power level gun. Maybe on par with the farmer from our last episode.
Yeah, right up there. Mm-hmm. Well, he apparently has Saiyan blood coursing through his Voltorb veins.
I think Toriyama missed out.
He sure did.
If I'm being honest. Seems like something he should have caught.
That's some lucrative cross promotion. Co-marketing and other brand words.
Synergy.
Guys, I had so many. Do you want them all or should I spread this out? Over time.
Give us the cream.
Give us your I mean, hell, we can check in each week and just...
Yeah, you want just one
taste
at a time?
Oh, yeah, pepper it in.
First and foremost was a female character that I invented and wrote a story about and just kind of inserted her into the main storyline. Her name was Wolf. with an E, and she was the illegitimate daughter of Yamcha and a secret Saiyan woman.
Oh, Lord.
A secret Saiyan
woman. Scandal.
So that she could be a Saiyan also. And she just hung out with the crew. Nobody knew who she was. She didn't know that her dad was Yamcha, and Yamcha didn't know. Only I knew. So I guess it didn't really matter.
Puppet master.
But her name was Wolf, because Wolfang Fist.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, it's pretty clever.
For sure.
You sat on that one for a while.
I had to let that percolate. I'll just leave it at that for this week, and we'll check in on my menagerie next week.
Here's a little morsel for you now, and we're going to come back when you're real hungry.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure if this counts as fan fiction, but it's definitely trashy enough to be mentioned. If you ever have the time, do yourself a favor and look up Anime Wars on YouTube. You won't regret it. It's predicted.
Just a strong recommendation.
It's predicted a lot of things that happen in Super before they happen in Super, and it's like a crossover between like all the popular anime.
Dang. I'm into it.
Not to give it too much credit, because I don't think that's like super hard to do necessarily, but still impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of notes for this week's episode, or episodes rather, because we're watching three of them again: episode 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. Should we just dive right in?
Absolutely.
We start episode 4, entitled Piccolo's Plan, with Raditz inventing a very bad game, which one of you can last the longest against me?
He also invented a really good nickname for Piccolo, the Green Man.
The Green Man.
I'm into Green Man, yeah.
I still prefer Big Green. I'm gonna stick to that one.
I mean, it's just a nice compliment, a nice mirror image.
A note that I do have from this battle is that there are a lot of shots that just really focus on Raditz's thighs.
And can you blame him?
My second note was we get very close to a dingle shot. Just so close.
We still don't see it, though.
No.
Not yet.
They're still cowards.
Right. Brother, where are your proud Saiyan thighs?
Your proud Saiyan dingus.
Flex them for me, Kakarot.
Get that bad boy out.
You even have leg day on this planet.
And they show like, in Dragon Ball, they show Goku's little Peebus all the time.
We have seen Saiyan Peebus.
We have, like, way more than once. They've done it. I don't know why they're not, like, they're unwilling to do it this time.
Cowardly.
Is it worse because it's an adult? Because I would say... No.
The opposite.
I would say it's worse if it's a child.
I'm with you 100% on that.
Maybe this is just a cultural difference we just don't understand.
I don't want to. I'm gonna come right out and say that.
I don't understand and I don't want to understand.
I'm good not knowing this one.
True. I have a quote here, but I don't remember the context of the quote, but I don't think I need to.
Okay.
The quote is just Raditz going, "I'm a Saiyan, it's what I do."
As he, like, dunks a basketball?
So, it's something. It's definitely something you'd see on an ad.
Gohan is drowning in tears in the space pod. Like,
yes.
It has to be filling with water, the amount that he's crying. And I made note that Goku runs to the edge of the cliff to check on him, and then the next shot, he is flying in the air for no reason.
Yeah, he just floats. Just get a better vantage.
Just dramatic purposes, because he comes back down almost immediately, and zero explanation is given as to why he just did the things he did.
This could be so that people don't write in going, there's no way he could have gotten a great look into that pod from the angle.
Like, is it just to remind us that he can fly too, even without Nimbus?
I was wondering before if he was capable of it, and I think, I mean, clearly yes.
You have
yes.
your answer now.
Clearly mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm.
He's just lazy.
Could be. It's a car. It's a free cloud car.
Goku and Piccolo begin to run serpentine to confuse the bad man.
I love this shot much.
Yeah, they do it very fast.
It's very good.
Because they're just playing a game of me first. No, I'm in front. No, me.
Yeah.
It's also funny in just that it's clearly they're just switching the cells, like the animation cells, back
right.
and forth.
It's very good.
You could almost see the hands holding the cells. If you paused it at just the right time, it is to no avail because they get a split kick from Big Rad.
He turns into what I, in that moment, described as a floating coffee table because he's just stuck still in the air.
He's just a solid dude all over.
Solid muscle.
It's the deadliest martial arts ever used.
Our two heroes are then blasted by two beams, which are not Double Sunday.
They
oddly
are not.
Enough.
I was confused for a minute.
Yeah, we were trying to piece together his what exactly his move set is, like which moves are which over the course of this. It's a little confusing.
Not to get ahead of things, but I'm severely disappointed that we actually never get to see Double Sunday.
Never shoots. He just charges
it. So much
it.
Tease.
This beam cuts off Piccolo's arm, though.
Mm-hmm. Clean cut.
And yes.
A very clean cut.
Like a cartoon ham with like a bone in the middle. I'm a little flabbergasted. I'm a little confused because I thought Namekians bled purple.
I was going to say, I think this is the only time he bleeds red.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm.
Did they correct it in later, or is it like I'm watching the secret uncensored Funimation version or something?
I think it's just a color error, of which there are numerous in this show.
No.
Shall we say?
It is not our last one.
I have a note here that's very good. It is Raditz delivering a
great... Is it
great,
his very good joke?
Very good joke. It is. He says, "Did anybody see my arm? You can't miss it. It's green." And then we immediately cut to grass being nibbled on by a mule.
That line does really stick out.
He is so in love with that joke.
He laughs so hard.
He is loving every syllable that he says.
As we've established, Raditz has a great sense of humor because he can laugh for 2 solid minutes at nothing.
Oh, that's a snail.
He loves it.
I feel like his self-actualizing posters are becoming more and more of a reality. The more that we see of him, it just seems to fit.
He's really taken the book to heart.
We see the Kame gang shooting the shit on an airplane while they try and find where this battle's happening. They have no direction because they don't have the dragon radar, so they're just kind of winging it, I guess.
They're flying through some very precarious rock formations here. And not
it's
over
fine.
Them. Not over them is my question.
They have an ace pilot who just loves to show off also.
Who's flying? Is it Bulma?
It's always Bulma.
Yeah, it is Bulma.
She does know how to use vehicles.
She does machines.
Which is more than what we can say for a lot of the main characters here.
Next, I have noted my favorite weird animation thing in this episode, which I think has happened at least once already, but it happens again a few times in quick succession, which is Goku using only one eye to look over at Piccolo very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, it just animates one of his pupils back and forth very
fast.
They
do the same thing with Piccolo later. So I caught that too.
Yeah, Piccolo does the same thing.
Like, are these boys low on potassium? Do they need some nanners? What's going on?
They need some senso beans.
Some sensu nanners in there.
They got weird twitches going on.
One of my favorite notes here was Raditz wondering what they're plotting while they are clearly within earshot.
You can whisper all you want. They're not even whispering, Raditz.
They loudly announce their plan in front of him, and he's just like, what are they doing?
I'm not sure what they're up to.
It makes me... I mean, this might be sort of like a thing from like from live Japanese theater, which I know like anime sort of borrows from that tradition. In like, man, I really hope this isn't wrong, but I think it's correct. But like you have characters that sort of announce what's going on, like in a lot of anime, and I believe that is sort of a carryover from like the way that traditional Japanese theater is done. I wonder if this is another one of those things, or if Raditz is just a moron. Maybe he's thinking about his joke again.
Sure, yeah, he's running through his set list.
He's just like, man, that green arm, I love it.
He is so assured of his victory that he is planning an open mic night tonight. Like, he's gonna clock out of Earth, head back home, and just hit the bar.
So, within earshot, the plan comes to fruition, and that plan is Piccolo's got an ace up his sleeve.
Right, the one that's left.
But he needs time to charge this bad boy up. He needs 5 minutes.
We get our first time limit in the show.
Yep.
Yes.
I timed it, and in this case, it was actually like 4.
Oh, you timed it live?
Yeah.
Yeah, I timed it as well, yeah.
Better than his estimate.
Pretty close, yeah.
You do want to overestimate so that people feel better when it comes in under budget.
Exactly.
That's what I learned from Scotty from Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Never tell them how long it'll actually take.
Same with pizza delivery.
Yep.
You always say longer so that they feel great when they get an early pizza.
Here's what I want to know. Piccolo says to Goku he planned on using it on him one day. And I'm just curious, in what scenario would Special Beam Cannon work on Goku in a one-on-one fight where he has to charge it up for 5 minutes?
He's eating a big bowl of rice, and Piccolo's outside his window saying, "Come on, you motherfucker."
What's that lightning out there?
Is somebody summoning the dragon?
No, he just calls to the window. No, it's a thunderstorm. Don't pay attention. Don't look outside.
Piccolo, what are you doing over there?
He could probably just ask Goku to stand, and he would do it.
I need to take a picture, but it's one of those long exposure times, so you need to stay very still.
This is a pinhole camera in my fingertips. Raditz discovers at this point that Earthlings can charge and adjust their power levels. It seems that he presumed them to be static things, and is surprised when they're going up.
I actually found that to be, like, a pretty solid explanation of how power levels work, like, in the series as a whole. It covers your entire body, from so it protects you from physical damage, but you can move it around and, like, focus it to one spot or into a beam. I wonder how long it'll take for them to throw that out the window.
One of my favorite quotes from this is when the special beam cannon is fully charged, the power level that he is presenting is 1330. He says, I can't block that! Which he really emphasizes the claim, like, there is a hard limit.
Yes.
1330, no can do.
I don't think we ever get his official number, do we?
Not Raditz's, no.
For Raditz?
Wait, no, they say it when they bring out the Cybermen, so we'll find out then.
Oh, yeah, because they are equal.
Yeah, they do. He will let us know.
It turns out that he doesn't need to block it, because he just moves out of the way.
He's yep. faster than light, apparently. I think Piccolo's just overestimating the speed of his own ability.
But look how easy it pierced his armor.
Yes, Raditz did get nicked in the shoulder. Because he wasn't paying attention, Goku is able to grab his tail at this time.
Giggle like an imp while doing so.
He loves
He's
that.
He's so happy.
He loves it.
Finally, someone else gets to experience his pain.
As we know about Saiyans, their tail is their weak point, so if you grab it, they become very lethargic. And can't move anymore. I don't know why that is.
See, that's what's strange, too, is that Raditz claims that the Saiyans, it's like your Saiyan tail, it's like, oh, it unleashes your true power. You know, because he's baffled that Goku has it permanently removed when they meet. And yet, it's this Achilles heel that upon pulled, I'm just assuming it's like a cat tail or something, they just hate it.
I mean, there can't be anything important in there. Like, biologically speaking, what could be stored in that tail that is doing anything?
Everything that turns him into a giant ape monster.
Yeah, it's the rest of the ape parts.
The ape enzymes.
Stored in the tail.
A vitamin ape.
All the monkey DNA is loaded in there.
No, like the body parts. They're just folded up in there.
We're talking about like a transformer kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's like a trunk that they carry around with them.
That is horrifying.
Yeah, it's no good.
But when not in use, it becomes a very fashionable and functional belt.
Goku falls for an obvious trick.
What?
So unlike him.
Yeah, his brother says stop it, so he does.
I promise I'll be good.
I'll leave. I was just fibbing about the killing and the whatnot.
And he is just really wailing into it. I kind of get now where Goku and Gohan get the propensity, the ability to just scream for minutes at a time. It's a Saiyan thing where you can just wail.
We get some scenery shots. They just wanted to show off their backgrounds.
Check out these watercolors. They're super lush and delicious. Look at our weird hills.
Jeremy spent 30 minutes on that one.
It's just signed in the corner.
From Jerry.
Jerry Coon, age 20. Put it up on the fridge.
Don't we get to visit the humble home of Chi-Chi?
We do. We see her doing some housework. Mm-hmm.
Oblivious to what's going on.
Well, no, she checks. Okay, Gordy and I were questioning this. Maybe you two have some information for us.
Oh, right.
She checks his quiz score.
Right.
Who's quizzing this 4-year-old?
Chi-Chi is.
Yeah, but she scored it.
She seems like... She acts like she did not know what his grade was. I think she even says something like... Something to that effect, right?
Right. She's surprised that it's 100.
She's like, oh, like he was supposed to like show me when he got his quiz back. So where is he going to school? And are
Turns
there
out,
more people like him?
His tutor was the mountain lion from episode 1. Very harsh.
It's an online school? Do they have
a fucking
those?
Dinosaur turns in his paperwork?
No, yeah, I like that better.
She also mentions how she hopes he'll get smart enough to one day be an astronaut and go out to see different planets. A wink.
Oh.
Big nod.
Little does she know.
First spacefaring astronaut orthopedist.
We desperately need them up there. We're getting slaughtered without them. We head back to the battle, and before dealing a killing blow, Raditz is interrupted by a huge spike in a power level.
A very large number.
And he has to check. He can't let this sit by.
It's like seeing a notification on your phone. You see that little red number, and you can leave it there, I guess.
Oh, sweet, someone retweeted me. The power level spike is Gohan erupting from the space pod.
Raditz probably has like 3 followers.
They're all Cybermen.
Not even the other 2 Saiyans.
It's definitely not Vegeta or Nappa.
So Gohan destroys Raditz's only way home.
Yeah.
Only way into space. But that's
whether or not they beat Raditz, he is now stuck here. If he just got stuck here without a space pod, how would he acclimate? Like, I just picture him seeing that happen, his spaceship exploding, and just being like, well, that's it, guys. Like, you win. Well, you bested me. What's for dinner? I'm here now. You got a couch?
My motivations are kind of moot at this point.
I'm definitely not doing that Saiyan job. I'm not going to get back in time.
Is Raditz... are we saying Raditz is going to devolve into, like, a futon crasher layabout who promises he'll be out of here in like 3 months?
Absolutely.
Like,
he's a total Dupree.
Okay.
Raditz played by Owen Wilson.
Oh gosh. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy,
that's an ongoing project. do we want to at any point talk about, entertain, whatever, the possibility of a live action Dragon Ball Z adaptation,
like a good one or like a different one?
Like a different one.
I'll go with a different one.
I don't know if this is like a discussion for now, but for the moment, is it possible? Could it be done? And who would you trust to helm it and do it right?
I mean, Man of Steel happened.
Yeah, we already got one technically.
Sure, yeah.
Is
that person Del Toro?
I was literally gonna say Del Toro because like nothing else is coming.
He
to
is
mind.
A huge weeb.
Yeah, Guillermo Del Toro. He's like the one, I think.
He seems busy.
He seems busy. I think
with his weird Kojima Ink baby project.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Look, there's a lot of open variables there.
If you could convince him that the money from this would fund his H.P. Lovecraft movie that he wants to make so badly, I bet you could get him to do it.
Get him on board.
Spoiler alert, the H.P. Lovecraft movie will happen. Just wait till the Cell Saga. Only real last note that I have is that Raditz knows Earth expressions such as saying uncle.
That's an old Saiyan. That sucks to say.
It does.
A Saiyan saying. Let's move on to episode 5.
5 times fast.
Which is Gohan's rage.
But he's so mad.
Gohan nails the dismount.
Yes!
It's so good. He does like 6 flips.
The only...
Nails it.
And I will note that during the recap of this last episode, the announcer for the dub that I'm listening to got really into announcing his arrival because he says... That's right, it's Gohan!
The 4-year-old you've been waiting for!
Like the Smash TV announcer.
The boy who was terrified of butterflies.
Raditz is very shocked with this and the power level.
Yeah, evidently it surpasses the special beam cannon.
Uh-huh. So high that his pupils go completely white. To show how shocked he is.
Gohan becomes a missile baby and cracks Raditz's armor.
He gets one good shot in.
He makes the best face during this.
Yeah, when he gets hit, yeah.
Which I described as...
They show it so many times.
It's the wee-woo face. Because his mouth is just slowly contorting.
It has to be a curious sensation to be smashed that hard by a baby's head.
That your armor cracks. I have a note here that says, Gohan unwittingly follows in his father's footsteps by headbutting his opponent very hard in the chest, but lacks the same follow-through that Goku had with King Piccolo.
Yeah, it's a very good move.
Did not quite break the seal.
Never underestimate a Saiyan skull.
Gohan snaps out of it and returns to Wimp.
Got and 2 settings.
I love that Raditz says, you're the first to ever damage me like this. He says, omitting the fact that Vegeta and Nappa could both easily do that.
I love his line because he says, no one's ever done that to me. He got hit with a baby headbutt. Of course no one's done that to you before.
It's a very specific issue that he's experiencing.
Oddly enough, happens a lot on Earth.
In a moment of impeccable uncling, Raditz backhands Gohan.
True. Which
sends him flying.
Knocks him the fuck out.
And then calls him a true warrior worthy of being a Saiyan.
Right. Well, and that he would give him a warrior's defeat or whatever.
Yeah, warrior's death. Do they go out like Vikings for their funerals, where instead of like being lit in a boat and then cast out to sea, they just get lit up with energy blasts?
One would think.
His motivation here is kind of confusing to me, because Raditz, who came here to get a powerful Saiyan, decides to kill the powerful Saiyan who just hit him.
Because he could get stronger.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want anyone to be... This is kind of embarrassing. I'm a grown-ass man, and this child is stronger than me.
I cannot tell people what happened here today.
He just doesn't want to still be the weakest.
No one must know.
Raditz has a bit of a complex, I think, left over from, well from earned. Being bullied. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Undeserved.
I mean, like, if at work my coworkers, like, literally grew somebody out of a capsule that could perform all of my duties, I would probably be bummed out.
Have a complex.
And taunted you about it?
Yeah, if I was like, okay, like...
this is like, just the first one, bro. We can make so many more of these.
Like if I was going on vacation, I was like, are you going to be good without me? Like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. We can literally make another one of you in 5 seconds. It would be, yeah, it's upsetting.
In fact, don't come back.
Just, yeah, like, why bother? It's unnecessary.
Pack up your capsule core brand box with everything rounded edges, and we will see you never.
Before Raditz can deal the killing blow on Gohan, Goku wraps himself around him in a full Nelson.
Mm-hmm. Never underestimate a full Nelson.
So Piccolo gets two birds with one stone on this one, because mm-hmm. he starts charging his beam again.
Before Goku even told him to.
Gordy, you and I both noted at this point, Goku informing his brother that it's bad to tell lies in the middle of this fight.
Just a little bit of moralizing from Goku.
Don't fib, kids at home.
Priority straight.
Now go ahead and murder him, Piccolo.
He did a lie to me. He cannot be allowed to live. I don't think that Veins should do whatever they're doing on Piccolo.
I was not a fan of that at all. I don't even know how these Namekian arms work exactly. They always freaked me out as a kid.
How they work,
the function. I always kept thinking, like, those pinkish spots in the middle were, like...
The muscle bits?
Exposed muscle tissue or something?
That's what makes them strong.
It's weird.
I just thought they were, like, very padding.
Just extra padding?
Like, sure. It would have a completely different texture.
I wonder how they taste.
I don't, actually.
Is that immoral to say?
No, well...
How Namekians taste?
Yeah, that I want to eat a thinking man.
Well, maybe like escargot.
Some space cargo?
All right.
How's that one taste?
Like escargot.
We are 5 episodes into this show, and our hero is dead.
I mean, it's like, bold.
It is. It's jarring.
I can't think of any other show that does that. I mean, it's like Goku losing the first martial arts tournament. In,
you expect him to just take it.
In Dragon Ball, because, like, that's what always happens in shows. Yeah, like, of course, the hero wins, right? Like, Rocky wasn't even a thing at that point, was it?
Maybe around the same time.
I don't know. I'm gonna look this up.
Who did it first?
I think it was Rocky. Was 1976.
Oh shit!
And Dragon Ball came out in the 80s, right? Yeah.
He stole from Rocky,
I think.
Son of a bitch. I'm not gonna lie, there's a part of me that always wanted this to be Goku's last moment in the series.
The ending?
Yeah. No, I want Gohan to take over from here. Do like a JoJo type thing?
I mean, in a way it is. Like, this is,
they play
this
with
is
it,
a
but yeah.
torch passing moment, because the majority of the rest of this show, Goku is dead or hospitalized until he is absolutely needed at the last moment.
True.
Yep. At least this season.
No, like all of it.
The whole show.
Yeah, he's either dead, yeah, he's basically. In a hospital, he's in a healing tank on Namek, he's having a heart attack.
He's just on his way.
He's just the dude that they put in the corner until they need him to finish the storyline.
He's got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. We get to the point where Piccolo flavor blasts through both Raditz and Goku, fulfilling his, I guess, revenge and promise to use the special beam cannon on him one day. That day was today. Surprise! And here's where we get a bit of a kerfuffle, a bit of a thing that kind of screws up everything forever, which is, how dare you? Raditz is beside himself, wondering why Goku would sacrifice himself like this, and Piccolo's like, well, actually, Earth has these things called Dragon Balls. It's the title of the show. And you collect 7 of them and you'll get a wish. Only the problem is that Raditz left his radio transmitter on, I guess. Or this thing was a radio the whole time?
The whole time.
And the other Saiyans heard this and are now planning to head to Earth and start fucking shit up.
They were just listening the whole time.
Piccolo makes a huge mistake in a surprisingly petty moment for him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, he didn't have to tell Raditz any of this. No. He just wanted
Goku's
to.
Goku's gotta get the last laugh.
Could have kept his green mouth shut. I have a question here. Does this mean if Raditz was making a big deal about this scouter is actually a radio transmitter that's been listening the whole time, does that mean that he was that radio was on when Goku had him by the tail and he was just crying like a big baby for 3 minutes?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
I heard every second of that.
Vegeta, hang on. This is great. Put down that bug leg. You're
yeah, are you fucking listening to this, dude?
This is classic.
You need to tune into Raditz FM.
Raditz is crying like a bitch right now, Vegeta. You gotta hear it. And then he's like, Raditz is like, they'll definitely come now. They gotta come. They're going to come.
He guys. Sounds like he does not fully believe it.
Like he's speaking directly to them.
And he sadly believes that they will revive him. When yep. they get there.
They're not going to revive him.
And how long will it take them to come? It's a year.
He was really quick with that answer.
The Kame crew show up in their plane. Bulma announces only one of them is standing. And Krillin, looking out the window, says, "Which one is it?" "It's the green one, Krillin." The one who is green.
And I love that after that, they try to make Goku's death seem like this big, dramatic, and important moment. When just less than 5 minutes later, Piccolo literally just said, "Death is meaningless in this series."
Mm-hmm. He's gonna be back in a week. Mm-hmm. Tops.
They really tried to play it up because when Goku does finally pass, I have here, Krillin shouts at Goku, who turns into an oil painting.
It's so rough. so gross looking.
It really is. Like, you know those scenes from like Ren and Stimpy or SpongeBob where it's like, check out this scab, and then it cuts to like a horrifying
gross
detailed
painting.
Yeah, I need to.
It's that.
I need to screen cap that and use it as like my, like
desktop.
I need it on a candle or something.
On like a votive.
I need Jesus it on a candle. Prayer candle.
All
right. It looks like. I don't know. It reminds me of some like very bad like a religious carving,
mm-hmm.
or something. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's a very like a pietà kind of a moment. The death of Son Gochrist.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
We're also introduced to the Ux King here for the first time.
Yes, we
for the first
we see
time?
This very big man.
Well,
for DBZ anyway.
First time in Z.
Because we don't know this fool beforehand.
Very powerful Ux King.
I don't see the family resemblance.
Between Chi-Chi and him?
No, it's not
there.
Yeah,
not a lot.
She takes after their uncle. It's one of those skip a generation things.
And we also get the first look at the so-called other Saiyans as well.
On a distant bug planet.
Mm-hmm. Just chowing down.
Red Vegeta.
Nappa's very first line of dialogue in this show is Raditz stinks.
Yes! Raditz, Nappa and Goku have something in common. They both do not like Raditz's odor.
It really just sort of drives home what we were discussing last week about his very stinky pod.
So that breaks the question. Maybe it's not that Saiyans are, you know, proud warrior race that fight all the time and don't bathe or whatever. Maybe
it's just Raditz.
It's just Raditz.
It is only Raditz, and they let him think that.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude doesn't cut his hair.
That is matted.
It is gross.
How
so
many bug
twigs.
Planet debris is just that is just lost in those locks? There's a story in those, is what I'm saying.
They're like a turtle shell.
You get him under a shower tap, and it is going to be running black for 5 minutes.
Ugh, that's very upsetting to think about.
We also get to see a very bonkers color scheme on Vegeta.
Ah, my favorite boy.
Good.
I really wish they stayed with this.
Yes! He's got the reddish hair.
I love Ginger Vegeta.
I love that boy. And the weird yellow gloves. And, I mean, it changes later. And some people, you know, say that it's like, oh, it's the atmosphere of space or something. But this was something that was edited in Kai later, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where we actually get to see his full standard color palette.
Turns out they were just guessing because at that point he hadn't been seen in color in the manga.
Really? Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll just take a stab at it. Maybe it's fucking nuts.
maybe it's like red or something.
Maybe
he'll choose all the colors.
As we know, As we'll later find out, obviously Saiyans don't have red hair. Ever.
So why, like, you, at least one of you being an animator, another...
Yeah.
Are you all, you're all illustrators of some kind, right?
Sure.
we'll go with that.
If you say so.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
I am not an artist.
Yeah.
I think I know enough not to stumble into that color scheme. Like, I think at some point I could realize what was happening and put the brakes on. But, like, why would you finish that, pass it on to somebody else who looks at it and goes, like, yeah, okay, we could use this.
Probably multiple people.
Yeah, and then you put it on the show.
It's definitely not the best, I would say.
It is definitely not the best.
Only explanation I could think of is because it was such a popular series, they couldn't wait. And for some reason, I guess they didn't ask Toriyama, hey, what's his color scheme?
Okay, what I would change is I would maybe get rid of the yellow gloves, but I really like the orangish shoulder pads, I like the reddish hair, and I like the weird green armor. It kind of felt very, like, pulpy 70s sci-fi poster.
Yeah.
Like,
so Nappa's is a little bit different too, right?
Is it?
From what we end up getting. Like, it ends up being a little bluer than
it
is now.
Yeah, he's wearing, like, browns and stuff. I mean, he wears blues later.
But it's still pretty close to what Raditz looks like.
Yeah.
Vegeta is not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how you go from Raditz to Nappa to Vegeta.
Well, he's the prince.
And think that there is a cohesive armor.
A far cry. And, you know, this is something we'll see later, is the overall design of the characters. It evolves along with the art, too. I personally am a bigger fan of Vegeta's earlier design versus what we'll see later. And I feel that about a lot of the characters, because the eyes are a little more open and the forehead's a little bigger. And I just have him down here as my favorite bratty boy prince.
Yeah, I have been keeping up with Super lately, and if you put Vegeta's first shot side by side with, like, his most recent part in the series, they're so different. Like, not just
he's
in color scheme, but, like, in every single way.
So many lines.
He's a very jagged man now.
Mm-hmm. A man of many cracks, creases, and crevices.
as he is entitled to be.
Sure. As
he's a prince, after
that's
all.
That's where he stores his Saiyan pride.
In his crevices? Yeah, it's gotta go somewhere.
Nappa asks if they should bring Raditz back with their wish, and Vegeta's like, nah, fuck that.
Raditz?
I have better Raditz. Things in mind.
There's a waste of a wish, my man.
It's like, nah, dude, come on.
We're gonna kill him again anyway for failing us.
Let me pitch something at you, Nappa. Have you ever heard of immortality?
Have you ever heard of a Super Saiyan?
I haven't. What is this?
Because I'm gonna be wrong about what a Super Saiyan is a lot throughout this series.
For a while.
Yeah. Is this a Super Saiyan? It's like Bigfoot.
Now am I a Super Saiyan? How about now?
I'm definitely a Super Saiyan 2 now, right?
Yeah. Hair still black. Yeah, this definitely feels like a new level.
Yeah, so he thinks that being immortal will make him one.
Yeah. I actually...
Or at least give him the time to figure it out.
I actually don't remember them bringing up Super Saiyans this early in the series.
Yeah, me neither.
And I'm a little surprised.
It might be part of the redub. I'm not sure if it's information that's been added in.
Could be. And we also get the first taste of, you know, a change that I'm experiencing, aside from the lack of Faulkner soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the Vegeta done by the Funimation boys and not the Ocean dub.
Yeah.
I remember.
So that's a weird phenomenon.
A little bit.
That I think appears to be universal, where everybody likes Brian Drummond for this part.
Yeah, for evil Vegeta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's cool on Chris Sabat for when he's an older man, but
I don't know why.
Never the twain.
It fits with the, to me, it fits with his older design. He sounds like a bratty boy prince.
Yeah, it just fits better. I don't know what's up.
Fits
but...
like a glove, like a sand glove.
Like a yellow glove.
Because the Ocean dub continued past this point, and we do get to see Brian Drummond doing, like, Majin Vegeta, and it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
At that
it doesn't
point.
Fit with the style.
I think it might be because Vegeta gets stockier as the series goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice just, like, looks like it fits on that body better.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so this is going to be some growing pains to get through, is to get used to these voices again. So they decide to head off to collect the Dragon Balls, and it will take them a year to do so. And before the end of this episode, Kami the god of Earth.
You know, Kali.
Who is the, yeah, you know, the good half of Piccolo, steals Goku's corpse.
Yep.
Just vanishes like an NPC in a video game.
Like a fucking prestige. But still, the bloodstain is on the ground, so that's great.
So I had forgotten that that happened.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
Momentarily, and I was like, wait, do they just do that in this show? I forgot.
I must go.
They just blink out when they're done.
Japan does have a thing about showing dead bodies.
Yeah, that's true. They're cool with Raditz for some reason.
Yeah. Raditz is just dead as a doornail, and we know he's dead because his eyes have no pupils in them, which in most animes means that you have passed on.
Means you're dead. Yeah.
It means you're dead and evil. If you're dead and good, your eyes close in a very peaceful gesture.
And people cry for you.
I wanted to devote a little bit of time to Raditz before we say goodbye forever.
A memoriam?
It seems fair.
A memoriam of sorts.
He's earned something. He's earned this much.
A place in Saiyan history.
Not even as a character, just as a concept. Because like I can't think of anything else where a blood relative of the main character is introduced and dropped so quickly.
Yeah, like a sack of bricks.
Dropped like a bad phone call.
He is never thought of again. This is like Darth Vader saying, Luke, I'm your dad. And in the next movie, two stronger dads are going to come beat you up.
Someone just comes in and just shoves Darth Vader over.
He's quite a bluff, would you say? A feint?
Yeah, it's so weird.
What's the word for it? I don't know.
Because even in the manga, this is not a very long story arc.
No.
I mean, for such a weird concept.
I like his design. I like the idea of what if you made Goku but evil and from space. Here he is. It's Raditz.
Yeah, like I'm down with it.
There are times in filler later where we see villains that are defeated and we never see Raditz
never.
Again. It's so yeah. weird to me.
I mean, I did write down why does he not just take Gohan and leave with him and then indoctrinate him?
Right.
Ah, you've read my fan fiction.
The indoctrination of Gohan. I mean, it makes a lot. Like, why piss around with Goku at all? Just leave. You got another Saiyan. He needs some training, but...
We've established Raditz is very stupid.
Yeah, we have.
Not that great with plans. Instead, he's like, I want you to kill a bunch of guys to prove you're bad.
I mean, he is like his brother in some ways. And one of them is he just wants to fight things. Like, whatever is in between him and fighting just needs to go.
I feel like Nappa and Vegeta did to Raditz what they do in the movie Kung Pao with Wimplo. We trained him wrong as a joke.
It's a very good joke. I'm not going to lie.
You know, he loved eating, not cooking so much. Why is it that whenever we see Saiyans idling for the first time, they're just chowing down on whatever
Saiyans
animals
love
they find?
To eat.
They need it. I feel a weird sadness for Raditz.
You mourn for the loss of potential.
That is. It's a huge load of potential.
And also just my presumptions of how his life has gone. Because he's not even the favorite son. Dad goes out of his way to protect Goku or Kakarot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really care about Raditz that much.
He'll be
just kind of lucks out that Raditz survives.
I think he actually actively forgets about Raditz.
I'm sorry, Raditz. You deserved better, I think.
And we never got to see the double Sunday.
Never once.
Can in the video games.
That wrong has been righted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, goodbye, Raditz. We are going to move on to episode 6.
Rip.
Which is entitled No Time Like the Present. My very first note, Bulma is intrigued by science.
Aww.
Bulma is a opportunistic woman. She immediately, she knows how to delegate like a manager. She instantly has Krillin harvest some technology from a dead body and then immediately starts trying to reverse engineer it.
Yeah, some impromptu troubleshooting.
She does not waste time. I wrote down a line from her. I think it is in response to that because Krillin says something like, wow, Bulma, like you're a genius. And she goes, don't worry, I know.
She's a boss ass bitch
you
and
don't
she
have
knows
to
it.
Tell me twice.
Yeah, she knows what she's about, which
I've
appreciate.
I've got this, bald man.
She has abandoned her white blazer. Just wanted a quick update, but it still looks stunning. Just to let you know, her wardrobe
is... rocking the tube top?
Yeah. So she knows how to dress for the occasion. It's fashionable, it's functional, it's versatile.
She doesn't want the blazer to get in the way of science.
Mm-hmm. I don't want any Saiyan blood on my blazer.
She needs her whole wingspan.
Get these shoulder pads out of here.
She really knows how to roll up her sleeves and then discard them and the garment that the sleeves are attached to.
Piccolo pops out a new arm.
Where'd that come from?
Yep.
Did you just have it in the chamber?
Has this happened before? I don't remember in Dragon Ball.
Never happened before. This is the first.
This is a new thing for him.
Where was he storing it somewhere?
Was he storing it?
I can grow an arm, but it takes 5 minutes. Oh, there it is.
They take to it pretty quickly. They're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Sure.
Lizards, I guess. Well,
yeah. You're like a lizard, I guess. You're green.
You're green like a lizard, I guess. Is this avocado a lizard? Yes. Does Krillin think Piccolo eats children? Because at this point...
Or people?
Does he know what Piccolos do?
Does he know what they do?
He was dead for the majority of the King Piccolo arc, so...
Yeah, that's true. He did get got pretty early.
He did die a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So, Piccolo pulls the big switcheroo, I guess. Saves Gohan from abduction just in time to abduct him.
He re-abducts him.
Mm-hmm. But it's good now because I'm doing training.
He re-abducts him and he does the indoctrination thing. Because Piccolo...
He gets it.
Yeah, because Piccolo knows how to seize the moment.
Mm-hmm. Carpe Gohan.
Carpe Gohan.
Seize the Gohan.
The reason that Piccolo is abducting Gohan is because Gohan has this potential.
That he sees in him. Mm-hmm. And everybody sees in him, I guess. It's pretty evident.
From who has been on, who has been here for this fight, which, by the way, is currently Piccolo. Piccolo is the only known witness to Gohan's great, immense power.
I mean, there's the craters also, but...
Yeah, Piccolo could have lied, said he did those.
Craters never tell.
At this point, I think we cut to the hereafter.
To the other world.
What happens when you die? Well, you become a cloud.
Sometimes.
And you still have to stand in line.
Just like the DMV.
We find out why Kami took Goku's body, and it's because he wants to allow Goku to run the Long Snake Way to train under somebody named King Kai, and he has to get King Yemma's permission first, who's a very big man.
A lot of kings.
Mm-hmm. So many kings.
The kings are big in this world. Ox King, King Yama.
King Kai is not particularly.
I have always loved Toriyama's take on like the afterlife and that the gods are just
the structure.
Yeah, gods are just bureaucrats and there's just like a clear line that you could follow.
I am loving all the pencil pushing Oni office workers.
Oh yes.
And
they're very smart suits.
Yes. And the pants, darling.
Hit us with some fashion, Jason.
It's everything. It's nothing. It's great.
It's everything.
The clouds. Well, here's what's weird. We see the clouds in line, but then later we cut back to, I'm assuming, departed souls in line, and they're wearing like the full, you know, Anglo base, the white bathrobes with the halo. The background for the entrance, the gate to heaven, is welcome, W-E-L-L, come to the afterlife.
I gotta wonder if that was on purpose or not. I really hope it is.
There is a lot of red tape that goes into changing a sign in an office like this.
Yeah.
You have to get it approved by the board.
And it's just not important. Mm-mm. We can't devote time and energy
It's been
to that,
that way for millions of years.
Do you see that line?
We're still processing people who died 40 years ago.
We are in the lunch rush of 200 years ago.
Kami kind of lets loose with his, I guess, gossip or something. Seems like Kami and Piccolo both have a tendency to just say random... They have a bit of, like, a foot-and-mouth syndrome.
Well, they are the same person.
I'm wondering if that's it.
Yeah, ish. In a weird way.
Could be part of it. Apparently Raditz was processed, air quotes, before...
Earlier.
Before Goku was. Apparently he put on... bit of a show.
That kind of denotes that they're actually super efficient at their job.
If you die, maybe the power you had in life is altered in some way because you're now under King Yama's kingdom. You're now under his jurisdiction, as it were, and if you act out of line, you get the patented Yama Lock.
Did he make it into any of the games?
I don't know. I don't know if he's ever been a playable character.
I don't think he ever did.
He just shows up in, like, Mugen, but it's him at his desk, and the desk moves with him.
mahogany.
Goku says that he wants to train under him, but Kami says, no, no, Kinkai is way stronger than this guy.
We promise.
Defo.
I don't know. Does Kinkai have the patented Yamalock?
Which, by the way, in the entire series, we never actually see Kinkai lift a finger in physical combat.
Or anything. Any kind of, like, so does he even do beams?
Is Kami full of shit?
Does he even, bro, do you even beam? Do you skip beam day?
Kami skips beam day.
Kami always skips beam day, and Piccolo never does.
Kami might have earned the right to skip beam day.
He is the guardian of Earth.
Yeah.
He is busy.
He has other stuff to worry about.
Life gets in the way.
He's a busy man.
And he has to constantly babysit Goku.
Mm-hmm. He does. He does at that.
Goku gets a super chatty Uber driver.
I am in love with this man. This Oni is me. Wow, what's this kung fu you do?
he's very excited about it, and it's very endearing.
Yes.
He just wants to get to know his customers.
You know, that's what they say. You can learn...
Develop a rapport.
You can make a lot of friends by really investing in them more than, you know, having them listen to you. You do your active listening skills, and you learn about your friends.
He's chasing that 5-star review.
You make connections. He needs that tip.
I had a genuine laugh at this whole exchange between those two, like the build-up of Snake Way. Like, mm-hmm. It's such a grueling run. No one's ever done it before. Be sure not to fall off. Oh, he could fly.
Mm-hmm. It ain't no thing.
He can fly.
Before Goku takes off running, he spits in his hands.
Which will help him with running.
A thing he definitely uses for running.
I didn't notice that. Did not fly to me.
Before this all transpires, this is interspersed with a bit of a cut of a humble Chi-Chi and Ox King.
Ox King with his RC car.
I don't know what he's... I'm guessing it's a present for Gohan. Maybe he was just bored.
Yeah.
This is for Ox King.
I think it's both. It was for Gohan, but then they were taking so long. He's like, I'm going to crack this thing open, see what it does. Pass those C batteries over this way.
With what little we know about that character, it's probably true.
Chi-Chi makes a note here that those fools are probably out teaching him Kung Fu or something. And she goes into just like a full anxiety brain disaster future spiral, fully animated in her thought bubble. And I'm living for it and loving it because she fears that they're going to put him on a desert island where he will be bit by a snake and it will poison his brain and render him incapable of doing math.
It's a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
Have you been to Australia?
It's a real possibility, yes. Now, I don't know that that's where they are.
They got math snakes down there. Just in the trees.
I feel like they are maybe not in Australia within the canon of this show, but...
Math snakes?
I'm down for math snakes.
I don't know. They got dinosaurs. It might be Australia.
They have mountain lions, and they also have mountain lion people who walk around and live their lives.
And sometimes our president.
We join Piccolo, who is dunking Gohan in water to wake him up. And then he drops, like, the heaviest shit on a 4-year-old. Just tells him, your dad's dead. This is what happened. This is what's going to happen to you now.
Don't you fucking cry.
He does the patented parenting tactic of, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Which is being thrown at a mountain.
Yes.
At 60 miles per hour.
Yeah, Piccolo fastball specials go on into a cliff. I'm not exactly sure what he was expecting to get out of this.
I think he wanted that mountain to blow up.
Well, got his wish. Because once again, Gohan turns into a missile baby.
Yes, it's at this point that Gohan Urkels it up. Because he says, did I do that?
Like, does he actually black out?
He did do that.
When this happens?
I guess, yeah. I guess that's the implication, is that he doesn't know what's going on.
He'd not know with his own strength.
I feel like that's a concept that's dropped pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that's up there with the Son Goku family, right? Not knowing how strong you is.
Pretty much.
To this day, they still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How strong is that, Goku?
A note that I have here is that Gohan laments that he needs to get back to studying so he can be an orthopedist. And Piccolo does not dissuade Gohan from his dreams. He does not say, you cannot be an orthopedist. He merely says...
Jason, I made the same note. Good parenting from Piccolo compromises with Gohan on his dreams.
Yes! Piccolo is a great...
You can fight and be an orthopedist.
He says, just hold on. We're just gonna train for a year until the whole Saiyan thing is dealt with, and then you can get back to your dreams of being an orthopedist.
Gohan, you work with me, your green dad, and I will work with you, my son.
My monkey son.
My monkey son.
Monkey son and lizard dad.
I made a note for that scene that is, Gohan says, "I'm just a kid. I can't fight with grown-ups," and that line right there completely sums up the huge difference in personality between Goku and Gohan. Because Goku was all about fighting adults.
I mean, I think Goku just applied sort of like a veil of ignorance toward his opponents. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, can I fight it? Should I fight it? Doesn't matter. I will fight it.
Goku fights grown-ups for breakfast.
That is true.
Loves that.
I'm wondering if it's just a personality. Can we, like, Myers-Briggs these fools? Is Goku like an E, I don't know, it's like, he's like an EK J4, and then Gohan's like an I.
Gohan's an II.
II.
He's just two introverts in the same body.
Yes. He's an I Super Saiyan. Super Saiyan level introvert, judgment, insightful. I don't remember what they are.
He's an ISSJ.
There it is. By the way, I have a note here that I just came up with. An example of a math snake, an algeboa.
You're a all monster.
Right. You got there. I mean, I can't endorse it, but you did get there. It is awful.
We do recognize the work that was put in.
The court recognizes.
But it's an abomination and must be destroyed immediately.
It can and will be used against you. That's the problem.
At the very end of our episode, our last episode for this week, Goku runs out of flying juice and he just starts running along Snake Way.
Yeah, I didn't realize he could
do that.
He gets
tired. He needs to eat.
And
he's tuckered.
Yeah.
But he can keep running.
Even when dead, he needs to eat.
Even when dead. Yeah, of course. He does eat later, right?
Yeah.
He eats with Princess...
Pretty soon.
Princess Snake Plissken.
Oh.
Yeah, we are about to start a long journey.
Oh, we're about to start a long stretch of bullshit.
My face. I took
a peep at what we're in for, and I forgot how much garbage there is between now and the Saiyans arrival.
Snake Way is my favorite filler. Are you kidding?
I mean, no, it's excellent filler, but it is all filler.
It is all filler, and I am here for it.
So that's all I have for the episodes this week. Are there any closing thoughts on episode 6? Why was it called No Time Like the Present?
Because Ox King came with presents.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
Haha.
It all comes together.
Solved. Well done. Well, if we are done talking about the episodes, I believe that means it's time to hail Satan. Guys, I have news about Mr. Satan.
Do you?
I did some sleuthing on the Dragon Ball Wikia, and I have some information for you all.
Oh, shit.
Do tell.
Because I had to double check to make sure that I wasn't just bullshitting that Mr. Satan wasn't his real name. Mm-hmm. It is not. His real name is Mark.
Whoa. That's, what? That's not real. That's not real, and I refuse to believe it's real.
I see some verifications going on in the
background.
Audible
fact checking happening.
just gonna check this out.
Mark,
seek a second opinion.
Also known as Hercule. Oh my gosh, you're right. Also, Mr. Satan, also known as Hercule Satan, the world martial arts champion and the Earth's protector. His real name is Mark. That is its own sentence.
That's lovely.
On the Wikia, his real name is Mark. Full stop.
So,
no additional details.
Here's the question. So, about Mark, where is Mark on his kung fu journey right now?
Well, I also verified that Videl is, in fact, with us at this point. She was born the same year that Goku and Piccolo fought in the World Martial Arts Tournament in Dragon Ball. She's a year older than Gohan.
Okay, gotcha. She's 5 right now.
So what we know about Mark is that he is training. He's doing his dynamite kicks every day before breakfast, and he has a daughter. We know that after he becomes world champion, he's very well off. Do you think he is at this point? Or is he a struggling martial artist?
Is he well off, or is he like what's his deal?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was the divorce caused by money trouble?
Ooh, I mean, I like
or is
that
it just
as
his
a tragic
terrible personality.
I like the money trouble being like maybe the straw that broke the camel's back. I do think his personality maybe had something to do with it.
It's a bit grating.
If I was going to take a stab at it, maybe. But yeah.
I like to think at this point he's entering World Martial Arts tournaments, talking himself up a really big game, and getting maybe second or third place.
That was my next question for y'all, is what do you think his first true lie is? What sends him down the path of deceit? Where does he get a taste for it, and where does he learn that he can succeed at it?
He claims his kicks can kill a man.
And that's why...
That seems like that's very verifiable.
Yeah.
No, he holds back in more martial arts tournaments because you can't kill.
There it is.
And nobody asks him to prove it.
Because he can't prove it. He's like, I'm not going to murder.
And that's why he doesn't win. Because he was holding back.
He's not from the Crane School. No. He's not going to kill wantonly.
He's from the School of Satan.
The Honorable School of Satan.
I wanted you guys to role play for a second here as the head of Satan School, the master of this dojo.
Who's going to be who?
You're all going to be the same guy. Okay. I just want to present a question to you.
Yeah, all right. I
want to reach a consensus answer.
So getting into the head direction.
Or you are approached by a man named Mark who says he can kill people with his kicks. What do you see in this Mark man?
The novelty act. Maybe we can sell some tickets.
Is it his hair?
Is it the press?
No such thing as bad press.
Maybe, or at least you can say, like, I have at my school a man who can kill with his kicks. If you want to also learn martial arts, maybe not that, but some other martial arts.
He's like,
Come on down to...
I'm seeing a poster child here, a gimmick, a meal ticket that we use.
Are we a Vince McMahon type?
Yes.
we just found a man with a perfect gimmick.
This is what I'm asking. Do you believe that the head of Satan School is a Vince McMahon character?
I can believe that 100%.
I do believe that.
And he gave him the name Mr. Satan.
The School of Satan very much feels like a fucking wrestling federation. I'm Mr. Satan, and I'm gonna kick you into hell.
It does have the attitude, that's for sure.
The machismo.
It's probably where Mark learned to lie so much.
From his mentor,
from the
Vince
School of Satan?
Vince Satan.
Is he rocking his facial hair yet?
That you have to earn.
Or is that a Vince addition? Like, you're fro's awesome, but it's something on that fucking face.
We need to compliment it. It needs an accent piece.
An accent piece?
You need an anchor for that righteous chin of yours.
Oh, gosh. Can you picture him without it?
I can't.
I don't want to.
It must look terrifying.
I think it's there for good reasons.
Yeah.
I think at this point he has something to prove. Yeah. He's in a state where he needs to do something about his life.
There's a chip on his shoulder.
And if it is learn to kill people by kicking them, then so be it.
He lives in a fucking rotten studio apartment with his roommate Bacterian. He cannot bring his daughter over to visit.
Oh, no.
In good conscience.
Yeah.
He cannot visit that upon a child.
And the mother's just hounding him for money.
Does he need to get out for that purpose?
Yeah, he just needs to get out and do something.
Like, he needs to get away from Bacterian so that he can have a relationship with his daughter again?
I mean, obviously, if he's rooming with Bacterian, there is probably no swinging bachelor love life, because, yeah, let's go back to your place. Here's the thing, it's broken?
It's all broken.
It's busted right now.
Don't try to fix it. It is
broken. No. So, you know.
Unspeakably broken.
Can I introduce a minor retcon from last week?
Please.
Yeah.
I want this to be the beginning of his martial arts journey.
Okay.
He is down on his luck. He is living with his old college roommate, Bacterian. Because he is divorced from his wife, who has kept his child.
Yeah.
His first wife, we'll say. For probably money reasons. Like, I don't know what he was up to before this. Maybe he was trying to get into, like, guitar or something. He had a musical passion.
Trying to kick off his folk album.
Yeah, something that didn't work out. So he is extremely down on his luck, and he sees a poster for Satan's School, and he's like, well, I can learn to fight, or I can die in this apartment with Bacterian and never see my daughter again. I need this money. I will take punches for money.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me.
and Vince McMahon, or can we come up with a Satan-esque name for
Vince
him?
Vince McSatan.
Vince McSatan.
Why is his name Mr. Satan? Is it just the school?
Yeah, it is the school.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he becomes the champion.
Yeah, okay, why is the school called that?
They needed like a hook.
Is it
they wanted to be edgy and badass?
Like, is it a reference to the Satan we're all thinking of? Or is it does it have some other meaning that we are not aware of?
Well, we actually meet the Satan we're thinking of in the series, and his name's Deborah.
That's true.
Thank you.
Also known as Doubler.
Thank you, Toriyama.
In some circles.
Doubler does not carry quite the same weight.
No,
so I think our Satan doesn't exist in this world.
Yeah, it just sounds cool.
I mean, yeah, the afterlife is not really like a Judeo-Christian whatever. It's all bureaucracy and King Yama.
The Toriyama, the Dragon Ball Z afterlife is not, for sure.
I mean, there is a hell, but it's not the hell you're thinking of.
Right, it's different.
It's way more fun.
It has butterflies for some reason.
It's spelled weird.
And blood pits.
Mm-hmm. And blood pits.
All right, so we will leave Mark approaching the Satan dojo this week.
Heart
and
in his
Vince
hand.
Vince McSatan looks out the window.
With an empty pocket.
This fresh-faced boy.
A heart full of dreams.
Absolutely. What's going on with the Dragon Balls? We're going to need them.
We're going to need them.
Krillin
so far,
says he's got three.
It's 3, 4, and
which
six.
Is to say that Goku had three, and now Krillin does.
Krillin found them.
He knows where they are.
Possession is, Raditz began and ended his Dragon Ball searching journey, just as soon. Got the 4-star and lost it just as easily.
They're tricky little things.
Those Dragon Balls, they sure are.
Like dancing fireflies, those.
That's why they made a whole show about them.
Mm-hmm.
Not much has changed from last week in position, so...
No.
It's probably safe to assume that they're still wherever they were.
Probably.
But I did want to talk to you guys about the mechanics of these balls, like the rules that are applied to them after use. Because what happens when they're used is that they fly into the sky and separate across the Earth.
Yeah.
Presumably so that it's hard to collect them again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But whoever made them decided to also implement the rule of, well, they'll also be stone for a year just in case somebody makes a thing that makes it easier to find these.
It was some good forethought on their part.
Kami's a thinker.
There's some weird fail-safes in these artifacts.
He saw Bulma coming a mile away.
And he's like, I got a curveball for your ass.
There's this little blue-haired girl. She's going to muck my shit up.
She's going to wreck my whole scene.
We're supposed to see a wish on this planet like once 100 years. The dragon is going to be so pissed at me.
We keep waking him up. Did the stone rule come into effect during Dragon Ball?
Yeah, and the first wish, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a failsafe that seems designed for Bulma specifically. I can't think of a good reason other than
that. It
was
also an excuse for Goku to look for them because he wants the 4-star.
Right.
He's just future-proofing a little bit.
He wants, They're like Apple products. They're either fully functional or completely functionless. There is no in-between.
Literally just a rock.
Kami decided to brick his Dragon Balls.
That's the thing, is that he's the only Apple genius guarding Earth right now.
Yeah, he doesn't want any homebrews.
Oh my gosh. Toriyama was very ahead of his time.
So that's it for Dragon Radar. The rest are out there in the world.
And I think that's gonna do it for our show this week. We're gonna watch episodes 7, 8, and 9 next week, and we're gonna be getting into filler.
Woo!
Delicious.
And tasty filler.
Nutritious. Well, maybe not nutritious, but definitely worth it.
So, as we look forward to that, Matt, do you have anywhere on the internet that you would like to be found?
You can find me on Twitter at MonumentousMatt.
Jason, how about you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr with the same name. That's JCalves, JAYCALVES.
And Gordy, how about you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at GordonMurphyDEV. Tyler, you and I also have another podcast called What the Folklore, which you should check out.
It goes up every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, and a little one every Sunday.
That's WT Folklore. You'll find us various places, iTunes,
all the wherever you're listening to this one, just search for it.
It's there.
You're already on the podcast sales website.
the machine.
So you're in the right place. Just go to a different page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a few doors down. You can't miss it.
But don't close this one, though. Please.
As for this one, I would like to make a proclamation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Please.
Yeah. I demand only 4-star reviews.
Oh.
No other star review is legitimate in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Only 4 stars on iTunes.
All right, Internet.
Give us that Gohan.
Don't disappoint us.
And that's going to be it for this week. Thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time on Destructo Discourse.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, and chala, no time to hesitate, don't want to search the earth. Surprise! Oh. Chala, hey, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Oh, chala, hey, chala.